Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the fifth edition of the Trans-Pyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS. It's day one at TPR number 5, and after months of careful planning and preparation, our riders are gathered at the start line in San Sebastian. The looming Pyrenean mountains await, providing the canvas onto which our riders will each paint their own unique adventure. The Lost Stop team are all ready and raring to go too. David Eyre is this year's race director.
So we're standing here, still pretty dark outside the town hall overlooking the Conquer. Very much looking forward to chasing after everyone on the road. Also very much looking forward to some breakfast at some point in the near future, as I'm ravenous. Nearly took an energy bar off a rider at the start line, but I thought it was a bad look for the race director to do that. Yeah, we've got a beautiful day of racing ahead of us. The weather forecast looks absolutely immaculate. So yeah, a lot of fun to be had.
Race reporter Hannah Larbelessier is on hand at the start line with the microphone. She's about to start speaking to riders, but first grabs a chat with our media manager, Taylor Doyle.
Hey Tay, do you want to describe the scene for us?
Oh man, we've got some sleepy looking people. We've got some really awake looking people. Everyone's just sort of trickling in for the start. And yeah, it's definitely a mix of emotions looking at riders' faces. But yeah, it's also exciting. And I think most people are just generally quite excited to get started. Yeah, make the waiting stop, right? That's the worst part.
Yeah, we've only got another half hour to wait until the first riders roll out.
Yeah.
And we've probably got most of them here already.
Yeah, on the way here, it was funny to see a mix of a lot of people's nights still persisting, while other people were walking their dogs and their morning was starting. And so, yeah, that's what the scene is here in the city of San Sebastian this morning.
It's a very, very funny intersection of people at this time in the morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Stuart Downey is our second race reporter on the scene. He starts the day by speaking to Tom Probert, Cap 117, who is very familiar with the race reporter role, having done it himself many times at Lost Stop Races.
Yeah, it's quite funny being on the other side of things this time. It's nice to be like in amongst it, in amongst all the riders. I came back after a few years of being away from doing these kind of races, having been on the Accursed Race doing the media this year, and just got so inspired by seeing all the riders like having an amazing time and going through all these challenges, and it just kind of sucked me back into it.
So listeners of the podcast will be familiar with Tom's voice. I was wondering if you could describe the scene right now. Where are we? What's happening?
Yes, we're in San Sebastian here, down by the harbour in the sea. We're surrounded by hundreds of riders, and it's dark. We got some beautiful like street lighting. There's a very elegant building next to us, and we're in the city. There's real sense of like nervous excitement building amongst the riders. A lot of nervous chit chat and all the red lights blinking everywhere. So yeah, it's a real atmosphere here.
Like many riders, Alvin Escajeda, Cap number 3, is just ready to get going.
I think it's like this is like the easiest part now. It's like everyone knows how to ride a bike. Everything, you're packed. You have no differences or choices to make now. It's just like cool, just ride your bicycle at this point. So no more picking at stuff and no more choosing. Yeah, I'm just like, I woke up this morning, I'm like, fuck, the easy part now, which is actually also very hard. But
when the easy part is riding 2,000 kilometers with 40,000
you know,
meters of elevation,
with all the travel,
how hard
and,
is the bit to this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's like with all the travel and, you know, all the stuff we've been doing, I'm just like, okay, like, bike's here, and lost my bike for a couple hours, and so yeah, it's been a whole thing, but now the easy part, quote unquote.
Well, I hope it's smooth sailing for you.
I hope so too. Yeah. The weather's looking amazing. I'm kind of scared that it looks so good.
Gundega Busenberger, Cap 139, is one of our Mike Hall bursary riders at TPR number 5.
Gundy, how was your night?
Surprisingly good sleep. Not the longest one, but yeah, once I managed to tinker with everything and put everything away. Yeah. I think the hardest challenge in the morning was to get the bike down my narrow Spanish staircase. I think I woke everyone up in the building. But, you know, sometimes early mornings are nice. So, good morning, everyone.
What a way to be woken up.
Yeah.
You said to me yesterday, you mentioned about tinkering at registration. What were you tinkering with at the last minute?
I just had some last bits of items that I had to squeeze somewhere in my bags. I had space, but you know, you always have like few, I don't know, I have few bits on my bed, and I'm like, okay, now they actually have to go in because I stopped using them.
What are you looking forward to at this moment in time?
just get on the road. It's been a long wait. It's been really long. It's been since March, I think. I went just saying, oh, it's such a long time. You got ages, and it's here now. Yeah. So, yeah, I just want to get on my bike, really.
Charlie Bratt, Cap 22.
Charlie, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm good.
How you feeling?
Slightly anxious, but looking forward to it, to be honest. It's going to be my biggest day on a bike ever, probably. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Magic.
I was just actually commenting on what a beautiful start it is. It's very laid back compared to a lot of, like, obviously one-day bike races, and it's, like, nice lighting, everyone's chilled and chatting. It's a perfect start, I'd say. I think, to be honest, all I'm looking forward to today is just today. It's, like, seeing how it goes, and tomorrow's another day. Well, today is tomorrow as well, like, as bike rides go. I'll try and ride through the night, but... yeah, it is just focusing on today, basically, the next few pedal strokes.
Ellie Roganby, Cap 35, has travelled from Scandinavia to be at TPR number 5.
Where are you from?
From Norway.
And what brings you to Trans-Pyrenees race?
I think the challenge, and I'm not sure. I think my kids moved out. It's like an empty nest thing to do. Maybe. No, I'm interested in the challenge to see how I react when things get hard. And
do you have many mountains around at home to train on?
Not really mountains, but we have hills. So I can do a lot of height meters at home.
You like climbing then?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And is this your daughter?
Yeah, that's my oldest daughter. She's helping her mom.
What's your name?
Anna.
Anna, nice to meet you. And what's your thoughts on your mum taking on an event like this?
I think it's very brave. I think she will manage well as well.
Any words of support to give her as she sets on her way?
You got it.
Thank you.
Really nice to meet you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Jim Page has made a long, albeit brief, trip to San Sebastian as a volunteer, having previously ridden TPR himself.
This morning, I wish I was riding. A couple of days ago when I rode the start and finish parkour, I was wishing I wasn't riding.
It's not too late for us to give you a tracker.
I saw there were some spare numbered hats, but no thank you. No, I'm definitely happy to be supporting this year.
And you're a long-term volunteer, but also rider of Lost Dot Races. What keeps you coming back?
I came here in TPR number 3 and just absolutely loved it. It was life-changing for me. Loved the race, loved the Pyrenees, loved the people, and loved the community around, all the riders and volunteers, organisers. So always happy to be part of the race.
Michael Dupont and Nicole Zimmerman, caps 127 A and B, are riding in the pairs category at TPR number 5.
Why have you chosen Trans-Pyrenees as an event to take on?
Oh, that's actually a long story.
We've got time.
2 years ago, I think, or was it 3 years ago, I watched Jana Kissenheimer, the movie. She did Three Peaks, actually, but then I was following her, and she also did a Transcontinental last year, and it's for me like, oh my God, that's so great. I want to do it. I also want to do it, but for me it's more, I love the hills more, and so I decided to choose the Trans-Pyrenees because it's more hilly and I prefer the hilly races. Yeah.
Cool. And what about you? Why Trans-Pyrenees?
Because of her.
You just get dragged along to
these
things.
Absolutely, yes. I had no chance.
But you've still got a smile on your face.
Yeah, I mean, I also like biking for sure. But I mean, I would never have come to the idea to start here at the Trans-Pyrenees. So it was her idea. And I joined, yeah. Why not? It's an adventure.
It's common for riders to try a race, learn from the experience, and then try again with all of the knowledge gained. Robert Coy, Cap 98.
And is this your first time riding one of our races, or have you taken on any in the past?
I rode TCR number 9. I was slow, made lots of mistakes, learned lots of things, had a great time. And I made it as far as Albania, so I had to go back to work, so you know, reached checkpoint 3 and decided time to go and get my flight. But this time I'm hoping to finish in time, so hopefully I've learned from that experience and see how it goes.
And you're not just a Lostock racer, but you've also volunteered with us.
Yes.
Have you had many learning experiences from that?
Oh yeah, it's sort of, I volunteered first time in TCR number 8. That's how I got my entry. Learned quite a lot. I was surprised by people that would cycle past CPs and go across coals without actually noticing that they'd missed a checkpoint, and thought, how can that happen? And yeah, it's so easy to do when you're tired and things start going wrong. And yeah, of course, looking out for prohibited tunnels and that kind of thing, it's you know, hopefully you learn from the experience of watching what other riders do, and it's going to be very embarrassing if I make the same mistakes.
Of course, riders will have been eyeing up each other's kit, equipment and bike setup over the last couple of days. Hannah finds Steve Hayes, Cap 108, who has a new set of wheels for this race.
Steve, what are you riding for this race?
I've got a Fairlight, a brand new Fairlight. It's only a couple of months old. This is our first outing on it, really, apart from a little 7 kilometre commute to work every day. So, yeah, it's good. Good old steel bike. Tell the wife that it's a forever bike, so get permission to buy a new one now and again.
Is this your first steel bike?
No, second. And I've still got a carbon road bike that I might swap out for a steel road bike because it's a forever bike. We'll see. I think she knows what I'm up to.
She's in on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost time for TPR number 5 to get underway. The riders will go off in waves before heading out via the Stark Parkour, a mandatory stretch that takes them out of the city and into some fairly stiff climbs, plus their very first taste of gravel. Tim De Vitter, Cap 111, is an extremely strong rider with multiple podium finishes to his name. He's one of the riders we expect to see near the front of the race.
I've just found Tim De Vitter having a big stretch. Yes, you look hello. Like you've just woken up. You've just risen from your alarm's gone.
I wish I did.
And you're stretching to wake up. How are you feeling?
Now I need to get all my excuses. I felt a little bit sick this week. And now I feel a little bit tired because the lady where I was sleeping had to watch television till 1:30 at night. But overall, we will see. I mean, once the race starts, something shifts in your head. And I think, yeah, we'll just go for it and see what it gives us. I hope that I'm safe. I hope everybody's safe. I hope nobody breaks anything or gets lost or eaten by a bear. That wouldn't be nice, and that's for sure the most important, yeah.
Six a.m. and the first wave of riders are at the start line. By the end of the day, some of them could be more than 350 kilometers deep in the Pyrenees Mountains. But for now, it's time for race director David to get things underway.
Okay, folks, we're going to be starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wave one, off you go.
After a smooth start, our team are now looking for riders to see how they're getting on. In control car 2, at TPR number 5, we have race reporter Hannah, photographer Alex Duffel, and race coordinator Andrew Phillips.
Yeah, well, it's about 7:20 a.m. Riders set off between 6 and 6:30, and we reckon that right about now they're going to be looking for their first coffee of the day, as nothing was open when they set off in San Sebastian. So we're getting out on the route looking for open bakeries and open bars and cafes that riders might stop at for a quick morning caffeine boost.
And what are we finding so far?
Well, we've just seen a little open bakery, but it's a little bit set back from the route. And I'm not sure riders are going to be pulling up their Google Maps and looking in detail yet. I think they're going to want something right on the route that they cycle straight past, and they just won't be able to resist that warm glow of light and the aroma of coffee beans.
the Control Car 2 crew managed to find their first riders of the day. Staffan Ekholm and Leon von Gillenpalm, caps 130 A and B, are riding as a pair, and they've stopped in a small cafe to take a breather.
We haven't raced before. We actually live quite far from each other in Sweden. So he lives in Stockholm, but now moving to the southern part of Sweden. And I live right up the north part of Sweden. So we usually ride together like 2-3 weeks a year, maybe.
And how do you know each other?
He's my father.
So, ah, okay.
So father and son duo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so he got me into cycling because he used to race back in the day. So this is like...
And what kind of racing?
Road racing. So he got me into this.
He's the responsible one.
Yeah.
And what's it like being able to take on an adventure like this with your son?
It's incredible, actually. This is one of the best days in my life so far. Yeah. I've been looking forward to this, and we have like this window, a couple of years, when I can still do this, and he can do it as well, so... Wow.
I'm sure you've got plenty of years left in you for doing this kind of thing.
But in a few years, I can't follow him.
The team soon run into another rider, David Hutchins, cap 30. But only a few hours into the race, he has a pretty serious mechanical problem to solve.
You know that lovely grassy... muddy, rutted section that was, what, I don't know, 10 or 15 k out from the very start this morning. Anyway, I slow time came off, slid off, and I think bent the rear derailleur or hanger slightly going up the hill. Just then tried to put it into the big sprocket, and the chain went inside the cassette itself. And I think...
Between the spoke and the cassette.
Yeah. And I think the rear derailleur then pulled off, is ripped off two spokes. But also the best thing...
You've lost three spokes.
Is it three? Oh, crikey, I can't even count. But the best thing, check this out. The best thing is that the wheel is now really bent. And if you stand there and watch it,
Did the chain just come off now and rip the spokes out just here?
About a K, 2K up there. So, yeah, taxi to Pamplona, hopefully sort this, and then ride back to here. Yeah. And then I'll restart everything.
So David's heading off in a taxi. Do you want to just explain the situation to the listeners for us?
Yeah, we found David who's broken three spokes, and now his wheel is so out of true that it won't even turn properly. It hits the frame. And we found him in this... pretty little Basque village, waiting for a taxi, and just warned him that getting a taxi is a bit of a grey area within the rules. Really, you're not meant to get private chartered transport. You should get public transport to a bike shop and then ride back. Sometimes if public transport is very sparse, and the bike really can't be moved very easily, we do allow people to get a taxi, if the alternative is sort of them ending their race. So a bit of a grey area, and David's happy that he knows that. We've had a chat with him about it. He's going to just sort of record everything he does. He's already dropped John, the comms manager, a note to let him know what's happening, and we'll sort of take a decision on it after the race, make sure we're happy with whatever he ends up doing in the end.
While David sorts out his broken spokes, Hannah finds another pair of riders in a supermarket where they've stopped to resupply. Katie Roberts and Amy James are caps 128 A and B.
We don't really have much of a plan because it's our first one we've done, but we're learning as we go. And we've booked an Airbnb for tonight that's quite far away, so we've just got to keep going to that.
How far have you got to ride today then?
Just under 200 kilometres.
It's like 280.
Yeah, 285, I think.
I think it was 285 from the start.
So we've got just under 200 to go. We've done about 85 now.
Yeah.
basically we're not too sure. And our maths isn't great, so yeah,
it's gonna be done 100, and I think we've got another 240 or something.
And everything's going all right for you?
Yeah, we had a chain problem right at the beginning, but I've got a bit of a knee niggle going on, but I'm just trying to ignore it.
Just do some stretching.
Yeah, exactly.
Ride into it.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, so far so good. Don't want to jinx it though. All
right, well, keep having fun.
You might be able to hear in the background the jingling of bells around the neck of sheep and cows. Very bucolic scene that we're amongst. We are standing at the end of the start parkour of TPR number 5. So in the town of Leitze, there is a small water fountain, and we currently have 5 riders huddled around it in the kind of crisp morning air, refilling water bottles and starting to load up their route now the parkour is over as well. So the first bit of the journey out of San Sebastian is done, and now they have the first free route portion of the race, so they'll be heading for the passive control of Espinal before heading round to the first staff control point of the race in Longas. So still a long way to go, a long day ahead of them, but yeah, people looking fresh, quite energised, a few smatterings of dirt from that first bit of off-road riding. So yeah, looks like a fun time's been had, and there's plenty more fun to come.
Lunchtime on day one at TPR number 5. It's early days, but a small group of riders at the front of the race are well past the passive CP0 and heading towards control point 1. Further back, Hannah finds Michael Drummond, Cap 81, who's taking in the calories and solidifying some strong, banana-based opinions.
We've just spied a lesser-spotted Drummond at home in his natural habitat. Sat on a park bench, or not a park bench.
I'm officially manspreading. I'm taking over a bin and a full bench. You could get at least 4 people on here, potentially 6. This is my second food pit stop. My first was 3 very, very delicious jamon queso croquetas and an espresso, so that was quite good. And now this is exactly my plan. In fact, the photographer to my right, Alex, I was explaining my plan, that I will go to a shop and make 3 sandwiches and eat 1 and have 2 with me, so then I haven't got to stop for dinner later.
Are you a fan of these very, very green bananas?
Do you know what? I am, and I wasn't. On Le Jog a couple of months ago, someone bought them for us, and I was like, what is this hell? And he was like, you can't have yellow bananas because there's too much sugar. Which makes sense, because that's why they become yellower and sweeter, but I think they go less mushy.
So it's an intentional choice to go for these very green bananas.
Absolutely.
At 2:24 PM, Jamie Loudon, Cap 60, is the first rider to arrive at Control Point 1, having negotiated something of a last-minute location change. He's made a great start to his third TPR adventure, but the chasing pack are all within an hour or so behind.
How are you feeling?
Good. Like, obviously, like 200-odd K, so yeah, a little bit leggy, but I feel like... haven't done too bad. Just kind of kept going.
Yeah,
seems like I'm going quite fast, which is nice. Like, I don't really, don't really feel like I've done anything special. It's just been turning the pedals a bit.
What's your objective at the moment?
I don't know really. I think I'm here about when I thought I would be, but I'm also staying in hotels, so I've got to find a hotel tonight. Mm-hmm. And then the question is whether or not there's a hotel which lines up with a sensible stopping point or not, because I'm not going to carry on through the night. Mm-hmm. It's never really worked well for me.
Okay.
The second rider to arrive at CP1 is Thomas Bury, Cap 109.
How's your day been so far?
A few road walk.
I got blocked a few times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Pyrenees reward passions.
What's your plan for now?
My plan? Well, just to have fun, huh? No, I'm gonna push the pace again.
Yeah.
It's a race. I broke my back 6 weeks ago.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I met with a wild board at night. So I broke four lumbar vertebrae.
Oh, shit.
How are you doing? So my body's feeling good, but yeah, I will prioritize sleep on a good bed. That's
recovery.
Yeah, that's the plan. And as we're pushing the pace, you need to rest if you want to push hard.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Shortly after, Chris McNaughton is the third rider to roll into the control point.
Good day?
Yeah, so far. Anyway. It's been nice. It's been...
What time is it? It's nearly five to three.
Yeah, so we're halfway through, aren't we? Halfway through the day, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's been good. Trying to keep a lid on things, not get too carried away early with the freshness. Thank you very much.
I mean, Thomas just said to me, the Pyrenees rewards patience, so
yes,
sounds like you're on the same track.
Hopefully I will, yeah. Had a couple of nice little gravel adventures in the spirit of the gravel aspect of this, yeah. So that's good. It was quite fun with Thomas. We've been relatively close to each other on and off, and he'd go off one way and then I'd go off on gravel, and then he seems to be climbing a little bit faster than me,
okay.
And then I seem to catch him by taking some detours.
It's nice having someone to chase.
Yes, but I need to just make sure that I don't get too carried away chasing.
Fair play.
So, but yeah, it's good.
Before reaching CP1, this year's race includes a passive control point, CP0. There are no volunteers there, hence the passive, but all riders must pass through. It's a common race feature outlined in the race manual and at the rider briefing. But not everyone spotted it. Tom Cooling, Cap 116.
So I've got ADHD, so I'm really shit at reading detail, skim read,
yeah.
And I definitely didn't see CP0.
You're not the only one.
So I rode like an hour south of Pamplona on the way here, and I looked at the tracker and I stopped for lunch and I was like, why on earth is everyone so far north and why am I so far south? And I saw it. And I was like, oh, sweet. So I've just like had to tap up CP0 and back down. But I kind of figured that I scratched on day one of TPR last year. And I kind of thought this is the message TPR, or the lesson TPR was trying to teach me, since like accept when things don't go my way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's only a couple of hours in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it's no drama. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's still been a mega day. Like the route I did that I shouldn't have done was absolutely beautiful. So it was... happy accident in a way, so it's good.
Tom is thankfully now heading to CP1, having visited all the right places, as is Cap 113, Kai Sikorski. After a special morning on the bike, he has an equally special way of getting some of that spent energy back.
I took an early break, and that was really good, and I realized I was the only one taking this pass, and it was so beautiful. It was so lonely, it was so magical, mystical.
Was that through the Basque country?
It was the pass called Artiaga or something like that. And it was so pristine and so really magical. That was already a great start. And then I rejoined the others, and so far it's good. Yeah.
You said you took an early break. What did you do during your break?
I practice a technique that restores my body very quickly. It's called vegetative training, and the body starts shaking a little bit, it refreshes very quickly. So
how do you do that?
Takes a little bit of practice, and my body's conditioned to get into that mode, and you need to breathe properly, you need to stay in a relaxed position, and then you open your legs and start shaking your hip, and then the body does the shaking. So it's kind of a relaxing routine where your inner massage person is working on you, so it's really cool.
Another rider on the way to CP1 is Leila Sabuti, Cap 72.
Yeah, the landscapes are really amazing.
And we're not even properly in the Pyrenees yet.
Yeah, but we're already like seeing like rock formations, kind of like the first parkour, the pictures I saw. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of, I thought my period was going to like be over by now, but it's not. And so it's my bib is like a bloodbath, but I just hope I can get to a hotel tonight and wash everything,
have a good shower,
yeah,
and then hopefully everything will be better in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you find that you struggle at all with riding at like different stages of your cycle? Like obviously there's the logistical annoyance of riding on your period, but does your like your body feel all right at this time of the cycle?
Yeah, it's more like 1 or 2 weeks before my period. I get so depressed and I feel like shit. I feel like I'm shit. And I could, like, on bike rides, I can just, like, stop and cry and be like, I'm so bad at this. Why am I doing this? And it's the worst. So I'm glad I'm not at that phase of the cycle.
I think even if you know that your hormones affect you like that, it's still really difficult to deal with. And you, like, tell yourself, like, oh, I know that hormones are why I'm feeling negative, but it's still hard to deal with it.
Yeah.
As evening draws in on day one, our leading riders are well on their way to the town of Torla Odessa, the start of the second parkour, and the option of nighttime gravel. It's been a long day for everyone, but for some riders, just getting here was enough of an ordeal. Mark Agar, Cap 69.
How are you?
I'm having fun.
Yeah?
Given, I don't know how much you know of my caper to get to the start.
Oh, you left your passport.
Yeah, so I left my passport in Sheffield, got to Portsmouth, was literally in tears at the dock. I rang Sophia, who rode this last year, and she talked me down and we hatched a plan. My mate's got my spare key. He went to my house and got my passport. That was on Monday night in Portsmouth. He posted it Tuesday morning to Plymouth. I then cycled 325k from Portsmouth to Plymouth and got the boat on Wednesday afternoon around lunchtime into Santander. Thursday afternoon and got the bus over to San Sebastian. Didn't get to San Sebastian until like 8:30 last night. So the fact that I made it to the start at all was amazing. I was so happy just to be on the start line. When Dave gave me my hat and tracker, I was like, I made it. Done about 200k. I've tried to make the route as flat as possible because I'm lazy. I had a puncture on my way to the start this morning, and I don't think I fixed it properly because I got another puncture about 10k in. So there was a bit of stop-start. That didn't help, but once I got off the first, the start parkour, I've been rattling along at my own pace. Pretty happy now.
It's evening, and the team are getting ready to eat and get some sleep before another day out on the road. But just time for one last chat, as they find Florian Bouquel, Cap 39, and Tom Probert, Cap 117, who've been battling for position all day. As a race reporter at the Accursed, Tom found himself inspired by Florian and duly signed up for TPR as a result.
Out on the road with one of your heroes.
I know, yeah. I'm a little bit starstruck, to be honest. Yeah, getting a bit flustered, so I might get a bit tongue-tied. This man's going for the triple crown of Lost Dot Races, so we're an esteemed company.
This is actually would be a first. Nobody has ever completed all three Lost Dot Races in 1 year.
Yeah, and I think I start to know why. Yeah, I thought it was kind of fresh, but I'm not. I just have to finish it now, yeah. Still have a lot of kilometers in front of me.
I've got faith in you. How's your day going, Tom?
It's hard to say, really. I found it quite tough, but I feel like I've just been riding pretty well and like consistently. But then I made the mistake of looking at the tracker, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm probably like somewhere near the middle, and I'm somewhere near the back. And it's like,
it doesn't mean anything at this stage.
No, it's too early. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been at about 50%. So just waiting to like kick on and then overtake everyone tomorrow.
Your main rival being Florian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was like, well, if Florian's here, we must be sort of like top 10-ish, you know.
Darkness has fallen, and our riders need to either push on into the night or find a suitable place to sleep, either the comfort of a hotel or wrapped up roadside in a likely less comfortable bivvy. Here's a summary of the day from race director David Eyre.
After the riders set off from San Sebastian in the dawn hours this morning, between 6 a.m. and 6:25 a.m, depending on which start wave they were in, they have made their way due east We often say that these races are an exercise in constant problem solving. That's true as much for the organisers as it is for the riders. And we had to move the location of CP1, 12 kilometres down the road, from Longest to Isuero. But the early front runners faced no problems with this. So we saw the likes of Jamie Loudon, Thomas Bury, Maxime Agut, Tim De Vitter all passing through pretty smoothly, not wasting much time at the CP. Quick refill of the water bottles, grab a bite to eat and move on. Pressing on over the first mandated gravel parkour of the race. In the women's field, the front three were Ariane Bouchard, Hélène Fromentie and Nicole von Battenberg, all setting a really strong pace and seemingly tackling the undulating terrain through the Basque Country and starting to get into the foothills of the Pyrenees really well. And we left CP1 after they had already started on the parkour from Longas as well. As night descends, we can see that Jamie Loudon, Thomas Bury and Maxime Agut are all very close now to Parkour 2 in Taller Odessa. So this will take riders up to the top of a canyon ridgeline. Huge views down it if they were doing it in daytime, but it looks like they'll be doing it in the pitch black. They will continue to make progress this evening. We'll be interested to see where they sleep. There's a huge chasing pack of riders, very strong riders who are just behind them, the likes of Franck Gabarou, Lucas Stripmatter and others, all in hot pursuit. So all to play for as we enter day two tomorrow.
Join us for the next episode where we can expect the race to become a little more stretched. At the front, we're likely to see a few riders break away from the pack, but it all depends on who chose to keep pushing and who decided to get some extra early race rest. Needless to say, there are plenty more stories to come at TPR number 5. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.